tonight. I hope I'm a pretty simple preacher, so if you want to take some notes, I'll repeat a lot and you'll be able to jot this down. This might be a message you'd like to jot down and ponder on from time to time. It's a formula that I'm going to give you tonight, and I guarantee you, if you are a member of a local New Testament church like most of you are here at this church, this formula will work, and I hope you'll take note and God will bless it in a special way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you're able to stand, I'm going to read several verses here from this familiar passage, and then we're going to get into the message here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin with verse number 18. But now hath God set members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for the privilege we have to be here in your house, in this living organism, this local church that you've established. Thank you for the shepherd you placed here and the family that you've given him and the leaders that follow him and the members that are part of this local New Testament church that you've given the responsibility of evangelizing the world. And we thank you for the church. We know that you died for the church. You love the church. It's special to you. And I pray that you would bestow upon this local New Testament church the wonderful grace of God. Give it power. Give it everything that it need to be all that you would have it to be. I pray you're blessed, and I thank you for those who've come back on a Sunday night to be here to worship you. I pray you'll bless our time together. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I've preached through several times, taught through several times the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Paul loved the church. He loved the church of Corinth. If you read sometimes, and I'm sure you have back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and see the kind of people that got saved, it gives you hope for the world when you realize that God can save anyone. That's amazing itself. We know the grace of God can save anyone, no matter what your background may be. The gospel works. It's the answer for the world. We understand that. But the amazing thing about the church of Corinth is not that drunkards and whoremongers and liars and all of these people got saved, but after they got saved, they changed. And they, you read there and it says, and such were some of you. In other words, they were no longer doing those things. And that had to be fascinating to the Apostle Paul, this evangelist missionary, that he could go in and preach the gospel. Then people would get saved, get baptized, join the church, and later on he could write a letter back and say, the testimony of Jesus Christ is confirmed in this place. In other words, when you walk into that new church, you'll find that people responded in such a way that there was no question that Christ was in that place. Now we realize that, and we learn from there that they became carnal and things that happened, but it's amazing to me that that church got on fire for God. So Paul love that church. And he wrote two letters back to the church of Corinth about what was going on. And here's a passage here that I just read that I want to mention a few things about this local church. Keep in mind, he's writing to the church of Corinth, a church that he spent 18 months teaching and preaching, and he writes back to them, and he says to them here in this passage, first of all, in verse number 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. Now keep in mind, he's talking about diversity in the church. He says, here we have this church, all kinds of people were saved, all kinds of people got baptized, became a part of that local church. So he says, in this church, there is diversity, but it's one body. In other words, he was saying personalities, diversity, and the way to make up of people, that doesn't determine what the unity of the church. The church ought to be one body with one purpose. In other words, every sinner that God saves, he wants to be scripturally baptized, join a local church, and give his time, talent, and treasure to help that local church evangelize the world. I don't care what anybody says today. I don't care whether the church is here in Shadow Mountain or Northern Virginia or Africa, in some place, God's in the business of saving souls, amen, getting them baptized, putting them in the local church that they may be used to help reach the world. Amen. That's something we need to understand. He says that every member in the local church, we're to grow as friends, we're to grow as families. We're saved by the same God. We have the same Holy Spirit, guided by the precious Word of God. So God wants to take all of this diversity, all of this talent, all of this time, all of this treasure, put it together and have one living organism to reach the world. That's the purpose and plan of God. He said in verse number 24 that God had arranged the church. He arranged the church as he wanted to be. There's a God in heaven who's the founder of the church, looks down upon a world, saves people, and in every church, he puts in a shepherd, and he puts people there, and he arranges that church to accomplish a purpose. We learn that God gives the church an authentic plan to evangelize the world. He makes an assured promise. He says, you can have my power to accomplish it, but I'm going to do it with people. I'm going to put all kinds of people. And God says, I'm not selective. I love the world. I love all kinds of people. I may put a homeless person over here. I may put a computer operator over here, a military person here, a doctor, a lawyer. But he says, I've so arranged it where there's diversity, but there's also unity in purpose. We need to understand that about a church. I love a church when there's diversity because it's Bible. It shows me that God can take any group of people saved by grace, put them into a living organism, and use them for his honor and glory. So he says, God has arranged the church. He's put people in the church as it pleased him. And so he arranged this church with all these different people. And he said in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now picture this. Picture you. Picture your background. Picture the fact that you're saved. God arranged this living organism for you to be a part of it because he has a purpose for this church to reach the world. So he looks down upon this part of the world and he says, I'm going to put in this church exactly what is needed that this church will accomplish my purpose. That's the way God works with every local church, no matter where it is in the world. And he says, this church is going to have a shepherd, going to have all kinds of people. They're going to grow as a family, grow as friends, and understand that together they're going to reach the world. This became so special to me a number of years ago. I started a church in a banquet room in a hotel that we never got beyond 40 people. I had to walk past a bar to get to the room where we were meeting, but I thought it was a great church. I thought it was one. We had 20 adults and 20 children, and we're in this living organism. I learned a long time ago that whether you meet in a banquet room, whether you eat in a storefront, or whether you're in a nice building, a church is not made up by your location. The church is made up by the people that God put in the church. So I thought it was the greatest church in the world. It was only running 40 people meeting in a banquet room. We finally, after 20 months, moved to Northern Virginia, and we found a storefront. We found a two-story storefront, 5,000 square feet, that had the National Industry of the Blind was the name of that. We figured let's put some sight in this place here and put the gospel in there. We bought this building. We were excited. It was 46 feet wide and 60 feet long, two-story, equal floor. We gutted out the bottom floor, made an auditorium seat about 160 to 200 people, put a baptismal pool under the choir loft, made room for the choir. We're excited. I was there for 10 years meeting in that storefront. We baptized 1,700 people in there. We're excited. We began to grow. We grew to 300 in that building. We had 100 adults and about 200 children. And we had a great missions program. We had a missions program every year from 1984 on. We had organized our first church. And boy, we were doing great, had money in the bank, brought a brand new van, and we were off and running. Had a mortgage at that time of $1,900 a month. God worked a miracle on a Saturday morning. I go 1,000 feet down the road, meet a lady there, led her to the Lord. She sells us a piece of her property for about $300,000, and we start planning to build a building. We get into this building program, and November 1993, we moved from this storefront of 5,000 feet into a brand new colonial building with 20,000 square feet with an auditorium. Now the seats about 600, and we're uptown. I mean, we're doing it just right. And then something hit me. We went from $1,900 a month mortgage to $30,000 a month mortgage with the same 300 people. Now, I don't know about you. You think about that. When we were paying $1,900, we were putting money in the bank. When you go to $30,000, you're trying to rob a bank. It's a whole different ballgame. Here we are. We're in there. We're beautiful. And all of a sudden, there were people coming to this building that wouldn't come to our storefront. And we were packing it out. And I was saying, you know, if we're going to pay this money, we've got to grow. We've got to grow. And we've got to grow fast. We've got to get more than 100 people. We've got to reverse this. It'd be different if I had 200 adults and 100 children. And so we had a bus ministry going. We've got to grow. So we came up with this idea, this bright idea that we're going to start a Bible Circle Fellowship. We're going to win people to the Lord. We're going to go soul winning, win people to Christ. You get these new converts coming in. And then I begin to realize something. Sometimes when you grow fast and you have more people, you have more problems. Let's say that again. More people means more problems. By the way, that's any church, including Shadow Mountain. If you get more people, you have more problems to deal with because people like us have problems. All right? That we need to understand it. So all of a sudden, we're going to grow. Now we're growing fast. So we came up with this Bible Circle Fellowship, these small groups to be able to get people in there to minister to people. And I got to thinking, we got new Christians now doing something they haven't done before. They don't know the King James Bible. They don't know all the things that we've known all this time. And they say, you know what's going to happen? We're going to start having more problems, but God wants the church to grow. He wants us to reach the world, and we've got to come up with a way that this church can grow with all of this diversity, all of these new people, and still maintain that one purpose. I don't want a $30,000 mortgage to cause us to not reach the world. We want to get to the point where we have this big building and have all of these people, and we can't take care of missions. So we've got to grow, but we've got to maintain unity. So on April 6, 1994, I came up with a formula, this is a lot of years ago, a formula that's entitled How to Maximize the Potential of the Church and Minimize Problems. In other words, this organism that God is arranging, that God is building to evangelize the world with new people and old people together and all the things that's happening, it's happening so fast, we need to come up with a way for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every member of the church to have this idea. Because I'm part of a living organism, because God has placed me here because it pleases Him, because I'm to be a part of evangelizing the world, because I'm to grow as part of the family. And friends, I want to walk in the church with this thought. God help me to maximize my potential in this organism and minimize any problem that I may ever cause. This formula will work, and I want to give it to you like I gave it to my church April 6, 1994. It made a difference in our church. We did grow. We went from a budget of $500,000 to $2.2 million. And we went to where we had more adults than we had children. We went to where people got saved and they got discipled and they grew. We went to a mission budget that's gone into the millions of dollars over the years. We grew because the idea was, let's every person have this thought in mind. I'm part of something God has established. I'm part of it, not an organization, but an organism. God's given me time. God's given me talent. God's given me treasure. And God, when I walk into this thing that you've arranged, that you placed me here, you put me here, I want to maximize my potential, minimize any problem that I may cause, that this organism would be what God wants it to be to reach the world. Now, I'm going to give you this formula. It's a six. It won't take long. You can write it down. It's easy to remember. The first thought came to my mind, and maybe paying that $30,000 had a lot to do with it. If we're going to make this thing be what it needs to be, we all got to work. So if you want to make a list, every point of this formula is going to start with the word work. All right? No church can maximize its potential if the members that God has put there for his purpose to evangelize the world, if we can't get people working. I can't eliminate that. All right? Any church where the majority of people are not working will not maximize your potential, and the church will have problems. All right? So we're going to start with the word work. You have to get used to this. We're going to have it six times. Everything is going to start with work. Work. I hate to burst your bubble, but a church can't be what God wants it to be if people are not working. We got to work. So here's the idea. I want to maximize my potential. Where do I start, preacher? I start by working. All right? There's a world to reach. It takes time. It takes talent. It takes treasure. It takes all that I can give to make it work. So we need to have everybody working. So I've tried to figure out a way to get all of our men, all of our women, all of our boys, and all of our girls working to maximize their potential. So we start with the word work. Then I'm going to give you a preposition that's going to connect work with another phrase or another word that's going to end in P. So we're going to have work, preposition, P. So we'll be able, easy to follow. So we're going to start here. Now keep this thought in mind. Here's the thought I want to think about. Make it personal. How can I maximize my potential in Shadow Mountain Baptist Church and minimize any problem I may cause? I've got to start by working. Then the preposition I want you to write down after work on point one is work for. F-O-R. Okay? So I'm going to work. All of us know we got to work in the church. But working is not enough. If the church is going to be what God wants it to be, I've got to work for, and then write this down, the right person. Work for the right person who's Jesus Christ. Amen. Now here's the mind. Keep the thought. I want to maximize my potential, minimize any problem. So here's the attitude I've got to have as a church member. I'm here to work for Jesus Christ. I want to work for Jesus Christ. How does that maximize my potential? How does that minimize any problem I may cause? Think about it as a member of the church. Think about yourself. If I'm working for Jesus Christ in the church, two things that will help me. Number one, I'm working to please him. We talk about love, how much I love God. I'm working, I'm cleaning up, I'm giving, I'm sacrificing. I'm on the bus route, I'm teaching, I'm working hard. But who are you working for? I'm working for Jesus Christ. Therefore, I compare myself to what he did for me, and I'm willing to work and work and work because I'm not working for the pastor. I'm not working for the deacon, not working for the church. I'm working for Jesus. So if I work for the right person, that's my attitude. It's going to help me maximize my potential because all the work that I'm doing, I'm working to please him. Now, here's how it minimizes my problem. If I'm working for the right person, and that's Jesus Christ, I'm working to please him. And then secondly, because I'm working to please him, all the praise I get, I want it from him. How does that minimize the problem? If nobody praises you for the work that you're doing and you're working to please him, you're not going to get upset about it because you're working to heal well done, my good and faithful servant. You see how that maximizes the potential? It makes me work hard to please him because if I work so hard, if I'm tired, if I'm worn out, but I'm working to please him, and if I did it all day long, every day, the rest of my life, it wouldn't be enough to pay for salvation alone. All right, so we work for the right person. I'm working to please him, and I won't get upset if nobody noticed enough to pat me on the back and tell me how good a job I'm doing and how thankful we are. It's not going to upset me in this organism because I'm not working for praise. My praise comes from him. All right, work for the right person. Number two, write down work. Here's the preposition with, W-I-T-H, the pastor. All right, we're talking about an organism called the church. If I'm working for the right person, and that's Jesus Christ, then I have to work with the pastor because the pastor is the one that Jesus puts to lead his church. He's the chief shepherd that I'm working for, and he places in the church an under-shepherd to be able to lead his local church. So if I'm working, if my attitude is I want to work to maximize my potential, God has chosen to put me in an organism as it pleases him. He arranged the church so that I would fit in there. I'm working to please him, looking for all my praise from him, then it automatically, if I'm right with him, I'm going to work with the pastor. Now, let me give you several ways every church member who maximize their potential, minimize their problem, work with the pastor. Number one, you ought to be in supplication for him. Every day of your life, with all the darts that are flying today, and all the hatred from the devil, and all the problems that we're facing, God puts a shepherd to lead his church to do what he wants the church to do, and every member needs to work with the pastor by falling on your knees every day and lifting up your pastor and his family. That's something that's needed because you don't want the devil to destroy him. You don't know all the attacks that he's going through. So you work with the pastor, first of all, in supplication for him, for his family. Number two, you ought to be in submission to him. The Bible says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Here's the reason that we ought to be in submission. The results of disobedient will be unprofitable for any church member that God's put in the local church to be part of this organism to help reach the world. Therefore, ought to be in submission to the pastor. Number three, here's how you work with the pastor. You not only work, be in supplication for him, be in submission to him. Thirdly, you ought to be in support of him. Let me tell you something you probably already know. Every once in a while, probably on a regular basis, God sometimes speaks to the shepherd without speaking to the sheep. You believe that? How many believe that every once in a while, whether he's on his knees in his Bible, walking down the street, or driving down the road, God has a little conversation with the shepherd. Believe that? He is the leader of the church. So I'm trying to maximize my potential. God, I want to be best that I can be. This organism that you put together, you chose to put me in. You put me in here because it pleased you. And I'm working for you. You're the person I'm working for. God, I want to please you. God, I want all the praise to come for you. I'm going to work with the pastor. I'm going to be in supplication for him. I'm going to pray for him every single day. I'm going to be in submission to him. I'm going to be support of him. I may not understand all the ideas. I may not understand all the ways he's leading. I may not understand any of that. But God, I want to maximize my potential, and the only way for me to do that is to be in support of that which you lead him to do. Fourthly, and this is one I threw in. He'd probably shoot me if I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going home tomorrow. Matter of fact, I got a text. They wanted to know if I wanted to get on the list to be able to give up my seat. And then I thought about it after I preached this message, no way. So I said, no, thank you. You ought to be in supplication for him and his family, be in submission to him. You ought to be in support of him. And then fourthly, you ought to spoil him. Amen? You ought, and let me tell you something. I pastored for 30 years, and I have a great church and great people. You realize that the Bible says the shepherd, the man that God puts to lead his organism, is worthy of double honor. Double honor. You think of the most that the average person gets or how they're treated. The shepherd that God places in a church is worth double honor. Now, he probably embarrassed to say that, but I'm going to tell you something, and I'm a spoiled pastor. I pastor a church that people love me, and they would do anything for me, and I would do and by the way, any man of God would do anything for God and his church. This is not a job. It's a calling upon a person's life. And here's some things I'm going to throw out. Here's how you spoil a pastor. Make sure you take care of him, take care of his family, remember special days. My greatest day in my church when I pastored was my church anniversary. People set aside special times where they took care of us. They gave monetary gifts. They did things where all the people got involved because they were appreciative of the shepherd that God put. And I'm sure you do these kind of things, but let me tell you something. You want to be blessed as a church, you take care of the shepherd God places in the church. You can never overpay him. You can never give too much to him. And by the way, here's something that's free. Learn to give because you love, not to give because you think there's a need. You study the Bible. It's giving because you love what God has given you, and you love God, and you do that by taking care of the man of God. This man and pastors all over this country who give themselves, I did it for 30 years, and I'm going to tell you something. Spoil your pastor and his family, regardless of what he thinks, and he won't have me back in September. I'm coming because you all voted me to come. Spoil him. Look for ways to take care of. Don't let special days and special situations go by without showing love and appreciation and thankfulness for the shepherd that God's given you. All right, I'll get off that one. You all are looking like you believe me. That's good. All right? I want to maximize my potential. How do I do it? Work. Work for the right person. That's Jesus Christ. If you're working for Jesus Christ, you will work with the pastor, supplication for him, praying for him every day, submission to him, support of him, and spoil him with all the love and appreciation what God leads him to do many times that you would have no idea of what it is. Number three, write down the word work. Write down the preposition around, A-R-O-U-N-D. Now keep in mind, I'm maximizing my potential. I'm part of this living organism. I'm working for Jesus Christ. I'm working with my pastor. Here's something else you must do for the church to maximize potential and work around and work, eliminate problems. You've got to work around personalities. Work around personalities. The Bible teaches us, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers all sins. Now, let me say, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church has diversity, all walks of life. If the church is going to maximize its potential, minimize its problems, you've got to look at the church with all of the diversity in the church. And people who want to maximize their potential, minimize a problem they be, must work around personalities. Two things we must do. Allow people to be different than you. Let me pause for a second. What would Shadow Mountain Baptist Church be like if everybody had your personality? Think about that. What if everybody in the church was just like you? God didn't put people in the church to be just like you. God put people in the church to be different. You know, I wouldn't want to pastor the church if everybody was like me. I'm a weird. I have my personality. They say I don't have a sense of humor. I'm glad I've got some people in the church that have a sense of humor. All right? But if everybody was just like you, had personality just like you, what would the church be like? Well, you don't have to answer that. I already know. Allow people to be different and avoid divisions at any cost. Why? This living organism has a responsibility of evangelizing the world. We can't have people upset about personalities. God allows and made people different. And he put those same people in the same church, and he says it's okay to be different. It's okay to have a different kind of personality, but you're saved by the same Savior. You have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same Father in heaven. You have the same Bible. You can be different, but still be unified to do a work for God. You got to work around personalities. There's too much to do in the world to be upset about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and the way they talk and the way they act. Every once in a while, stand in the mirror and look at you, and every once in a while, yell out loud what you like, and then say, oh, God, thank God that everybody's not like me. Work around personalities. Number four, I'm talking about maximizing my potential, minimizing any problem I may cause in this organism that belongs to God. I'm going to work for the right person to please him. I want my praise to come from him. I'm going to work with my pastor in supplication, in submission, in support. I'm going to do everything I can personally to spoil him. I'm going to work around personalities. Yeah, there's some people in the church that I have some issues with. But I love Jesus enough to work around it because his church is more important than my personality. Number four, work. Write down the preposition on, O-N. Work on people. You know, I learned a long time ago that I pastored 30 years, and there were some people in that church, personalities, that I had some real issues with. There was nobody in the church that I didn't love, but there were a few people in there I just didn't like. I had some well-intentioned dragons in my church. You all don't have any out here in beautiful California. But I learned something. Here's how, if I'm going to maximize my potential and minimize any problem that I may be in the church, I work around personalities that I don't have. If I have a personality that kind of rubs me the wrong way, I'm going to work on it. And here's how you work on here's how you work on people in the church. Number one, pray actively for them. You know, I found out it's hard to be upset with somebody you're praying for. Pray for them. Get on your knees and ask God to, every single day, pray. God, by the way, don't just pray to God, correct them. Pray to God, help you to be patient. And pray, work on them, personalities. Work on them by praying actively for them. I almost said something. This thing may be taped. I better watch that. So you pray actively for people. Here's something else that works. Provide assistance to them. I had a lady in my church that we had some personality differences, and I'm loving on her. And finally, I got to the point. I just made a suggestion. You know, if you have problems, just you know, make me a coconut cream pie, and you know, I lighten up on the sermon a little bit. You know, and so now I have the same lady that we didn't get along with. She makes me specified desserts exactly the way I have it all the time. She couldn't say anything to upset me anymore. Coconut cream pie, coconut pie that I'm eating on a regular. I drive up and get into church, and she meets me with a nice, say what you want, sister. It won't bother me a bit. Not at all. You're working on me. Invite somebody over. Take them out. Do something. Work on them. Why? You want to help that person not to be a problem in the church. You want that person to maximize his or her potential. And they're going to be upset with you all the time. How in the world are they going to do all that they need to be for God to help the church to be all that it needs to be? Work on people. You see, the church is designed for all of us to come in. The wonderful shepherd that walks with God, God gives him something to mend my heart when I come in. When you walk through those doors, being in this world, you bring a wounded heart in here. The preacher's responsibility is to mend the saints. The saints' responsibility would be to minister to other people. And as you are mended and then you minister, you will mature in your Christian life because you realize you're here, a part of the church that God has a purpose for, and he needs your time, your talent, and your treasure. You're different than somebody else, but you ought to be participating and getting the work done for God. We need to understand that. Two more. We're almost done. Work for the right person. That's always Jesus Christ. Work with the pastor. In this case, as Pastor Haynes. Work around personalities. That's all of you. Everybody's got a personality. And you'd be lying if you say there's not some in this church that kind of rub you the wrong way. Work around it. Allow people to be different. Avoid division at any cost. Work on people. Pray actively for one another. Provide assistance. Look for somebody that you can be a blessing to help that person be all that God wants them to be. Number five, I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number five. We're talking about maximizing our potential, minimizing any problem. And we're talking about this on an individual basis, that the church may be all that God would have it to be. Work for the right person, that's Jesus Christ. Work with the pastor. Work around personalities. Work on people. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 23, if you'll look there. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I want to minimize any problem that I may cause. I want to maximize my potential. I'm going to work for the right person. That's Jesus Christ. I'm going to work with my pastor. I'm going to work around personalities. I'm going to work on people. But fifthly, I've got to work out problems. I've got to work out problems. That's standard in the Word of God. A church that has problems that are not worked out will be a church that will never maximize its potential. Work out problems. Now, the Bible lays out very clearly for the church how we work out problems. It's impossible to have two or more people in a church without having some kind of problem. People, including yours truly and everybody else, we are made of problems. We are problem people because we're people. There's nobody perfect. So we're going to always have problems in the church. God has designed the church to maximize its potential and minimize problems. So how do I keep this organism being what God wants it to be I've got to individually work out problems. Now, according to Matthew, we don't have to turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. He says, church, here's how you work out problems. There's a scriptural approach for church members to work out problems. If they want to maximize their potential and minimize their problem, here's how you work out. Here's a scriptural approach. You ought to do it privately. You ought to do it personally. You ought to do it prayerfully. You ought to do it patiently. When any two people would have a problem, keep in mind, you've got to look beyond your individual situation. I'm a part of a living organism that God has placed me here, arranged this body where there's diversity, but at the same time there's unity because the organism has been given the great commission to reach the world. I want to be the best that I can be to make it work. But I've got a problem with somebody in the church. Then let's use a scriptural approach to work it out. Go to the person personally, privately, prayerfully, patiently. That's what Matthew 18 teaches. Before you ever, you don't need to get somebody else praying about it. You don't need to get somebody else talking about it. You don't need to be sharing a prayer request. You need to go, why? You're looking at the whole. You're looking at this not, I don't want this thing to slow down, this organism that God has given this promise and given this plan and made his power available and using us as people to get the job done. We don't want anything to stop that, but I've got this, so I'm going to go personally and privately and prayerfully, and then I'm going to be patient enough because why? I don't want this thing to hurt the church. So there's a scriptural approach. And then Galatians tells us about a spiritual attitude that I'm to have. He says that you are to go with a spiritual attitude. He says you ought to go caringly, restore such a one. You ought to go considering, lest it could be you, it could be somebody else. So we are to use a scriptural approach and a spiritual attitude to take care of the problem, that it won't hurt the organism, so it won't be hindered about doing God's work, and I'm to do my part. All right? So, five. Then we got one more. I want to maximize my potential. I want to minimize any problem. So my attitude is this, as a member of the church, I'm going to work for the right person. That will always be Jesus Christ. I want to please him. If nobody ever pat me on the back, if they never put my name in the bulletin, I'm not going to be a problem because you know what? I'm waiting to get my praise one day when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I can make it on that. I can keep cleaning. I can keep working. I can keep witnessing. I can keep giving. If nobody recognizes me because he never misses one thing that I do, I'm going to work with my pastor. I'm going to be in supplication for him. Boy, he preached something that stepped on my toes. You want him to preach something that doesn't? Get on your knees and ask God to give him something that will make you feel better. But you don't get upset. And I'm going to be in submission to him and in support. I'm going to help support him. I'm going to work around personalities. I'm going to work on people. And I'm going to work out my problems. And then the last one, write down the word work and the preposition through his power. Work through his power. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I say something to you? God's still looking for people who will walk in the Spirit, who will be controlled by the Spirit, who will be filled by the Spirit. My Bible tells me that if I'm working, self is always carnal. Always. I can't do anything in the flesh that's going to please Almighty God. Self is always carnal, and God wants me working, and he wants me being a part of this organism, but he wants me not to do it in a selfish way because that's carnal. He wants it to be spirit control. If every local member of a local church would spend some time asking God, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit, that I could do the work of God in the local church to please you, because you've made me a part of something that's bigger than just me. We're either in the flesh, in the Spirit. I preached enough places to enough people until we preached so hard trying to get carnal people to do spiritual work. The work of God is spiritual work. Reaching the world, we are flesh and we are selfish. We get stubborn. We get sinful. We get stingy. And a few more S's I could come up with. And I try, even with, I never preach without praying, God, cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit, because I know me. And I'm a preacher. And I'm a pretty disciplined person. I oftentimes preached over the years. I don't know if you've ever done this, Pastor. If you did, don't admit it. But I've often preached. If it's that hard for me to stay straight, and I've got to stay on my knees begging God to help me, what in the world is a person who have come to church and never read the Bible? How in the world do they make it in this world? I have no idea. And just because you bring a body to church doesn't mean that what's in that church is what God needs to help reach your world. Now, I've preached this all over the world, small churches, large churches, several times in the church that I pastored for years. I guarantee you, if every member of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church will come to church with this attitude, I'm going to work. And there are all kinds of work in the church. But you know who I'm going to work for? I'm going to work for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to work to please him. And if I don't get any praise, I'll be all right. I won't be a problem because I'm waiting to get my praise from him. God's put me in a church where I have a shepherd that's a man of God that I know you thank God for. I'm going to work with him. I'm going to start by getting on my knees and pray that God will protect him. Pray that God will give him wisdom. God will give him power. God will take care of his needs. I'm going to do that every day. Can you imagine what happens if every church member fell on their knees every day and prayed for the pastor, prayed for his family? I'm going to be in submission to him because he's watching over me. He's got to give a report. I'm going to be in support of his ideas of what God leads him to do. And I'm going to be involved in spoiling him with double honor because that's what my Bible tells me I ought to do. And I'm going to work around personalities. If somebody rubs me the wrong way, not going to get me off track. I'm going to work around it. I'm going to allow them to be different and avoid divisions at any cost. And I'm going to work on people. I'm going to find me somebody that I can pray actively for and provide some assistance to them to help them be a part of this organism. And I'll have a problem from time to time, but I'm going to work it out with a scriptural approach and a spiritual attitude. And before I come to church, every day of my life, I'm going to look up to God and say, you know what? Self will always be carnal. So help me to work as a spirit-controlled Christian that my church, because of me and my doing, can maximize its potential, minimize its problems, that power God gives can be used through his people to advance his plan of reaching the world. That formula will work in any church, in any group of people, to maximize your potential, minimize any problem in the church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we could never thank you enough for salvation. We couldn't thank you enough for putting us in a living organism like the church. And I do pray that you'll help every man, woman, boy, or girl who listen to this message to personally take the attitude, I'm thankful to be a part of a living organism that God has put me in as it pleased him. and arranged it with all the diversity and desires that there be total unity for his purpose. And Lord, I want to have the attitude of maximizing my potential. I want to be the best I can be. I'm going to work for the right person. That's Jesus. I'm going to work with my pastor. I'm going to work around personalities. I'm going to work on people. I'm going to work out problems. And I'm going to work through your power that I might help my church to be all that God would have it to be. You help me in any area that I need do more in to become a person who maximizes his or her potential, minimizes his or her problems, and we'll thank you for it. You bless the invitation time. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand.